Indeed, Calvary covers it all. Think of those words. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain. What kind of past have you had? What kind of sin and stains have you had in your past? My guilt and despair, Jesus took on Him there. All that guilt that you had, the feeling of guilt, your own guilt before God, the despair that you had, the helplessness and hopelessness that you had, Jesus took upon Himself. Calvary covers it all. We've been looking at people and developing a heart for people. And I want you to observe today out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we need to have a heart for people, recognizing God's immeasurable love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, we read, "Therefore we are ambassadors, you are, every one of you is an ambassador for Christ." You can get up there on the plane, and when you're being talked to, what do you do for a living? You can share with them, "I am an ambassador." And then they'll treat you a lot nicer. An ambassador of what country? An ambassador of Christ. Follow along, it says here, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us to you. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Make that relationship between you and God correct. That relationship is broken, for He, God, made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Follow along. I want to share this passage with you. But as I do, I want you to see that we have a helpless hopelessness. We've talked about it. And by way of review, but I have it all laid out for you there in the notes. The reason I did that is a couple reasons. One, that way you'll follow right along. But this way, you are going to take this message and give it to somebody else. You are. Because you know they are helpless and hopeless without Christ. And I say that because you have a sinful nature. We all do. Our sinful nature, because of it, we sin. Adam and Eve, God created them, but they sinned. And as a result, their insides were changed. And they passed it on down to you and to me. And now we're all sinners. And because we're sinners by nature, it's natural for us to sin. A frog, by nature, the way God designed them, hops. They don't ride bicycles unless they're in the Muppet movie. They hop. They don't crawl. They don't fly. They hop. Their nature is to hop. Your nature is to sin. And so you sin. You don't sin all the time. And you don't always sin as bad as you could sin. But that's only by God's grace. You sin. The bad things that you do violate God's moral laws and His character. And God is righteous and just. Therefore, He must punish your sin. My kids, when they disobey me, I have to punish them for their sin. I have to discipline them. I love them, but I don't like the way that they talked back to me. I don't like the way they disobeyed me, didn't clean my room. Clean my room. Yeah. Now that's a good one. I should have them do that. They didn't clean their room. They didn't do the dishes or take out the trash or whatever else I've commanded them to do. Therefore, there's discipline as a result. Must discipline my kids so they know what they're supposed to do. God, He must punish us. And the only acceptable punishment for violating an infinite and eternal God is eternal punishment in the burning blackness of hell. That might seem a bit much, but listen, as we talked about last week, we're talking about a perfectly holy and pure God who cannot stand sin. And therefore, because He can't stand sin, He won't allow sin to remain in His presence. He must punish it, and the punishment for sin is all of forever and the burning flames of hell. Is that too much? You know, I was thinking the other day, well, this response that Dave Ramsey gives when he's asked how he is doing is better than I deserve. And I thought that's true. It's a good way to answer somebody. We think that we deserve to be treated well and right, don't we? When you go to the store, you expect decent service. Even if they don't acknowledge you or say hi, they at least will accomplish the task that you ask of them. To ring up your groceries, to take your money because you're trying to give it away, right? And to help you when you need help. You expect at least that much out of them. And then, when you're ignored, or you're at the restaurant and the waitress won't come for 20, 30 minutes, or whatever the case may be, you think to yourself, I don't deserve this. Why do you say that? But just think for a minute, why do you say that? Are you somebody special? Did you do them some sort of favor that they should be honoring you? What have you done before God that He should be good to you? What have you done? Oh, well, I went to church. Okay, well, does that make up for the 138 things, the ways that you sinned against Him over the last week? Well, no, I guess not. You don't deserve God's goodness. Just flat up, you don't. You're a wicked, sinful, depraved human being. And I am too. So we're all in good company. We don't deserve God's goodness. And so when we look at what the ultimate result of sin is, hell forever, we can't say, well, I don't deserve that because I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Are you as good as God? No? Well, then that's where you're going. Congratulations. We don't deserve God's goodness. In the end, you're helpless and hopeless. You're helpless and hopeless. There is nothing you can do to satisfy, to appease God's wrath, righteous wrath, for your sin. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. I love the illustration. I repeat it for you because it's an illustration you can use. Today I'm going to shoot Mary in the head and kill her. Not for real, so nobody get nervous. Especially Mary. I love you, Mary. But you're dead now. Keith, if I come over and wash the car enough, can I do it enough times in order to make up for the fact that I just killed your wife? No, not at all, can I? can I give you a $50 bill? Oh, being realistic. A $20 bill? Would that make up for it? No. Is there anything under this sun that I could do to make up for it? What if I killed myself? Would that make up for it? No, none of it would. And yet we violate a perfectly holy God. Who are we to think that anything we could do could satisfy His wrath? You are helpless and hopeless. There's no hope for you. What can we do? Can anybody do anything to make up for Keith's loss? No. God is the answer. God became your Savior. He Himself is the only one who is owed. He is the only one who could resolve the situation. He did it with His immeasurable love. In verse 21, it says here, He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus Christ, who did no sin. He knew no sin. He was absolutely perfect. That's important. We're talking about the doctrine of atonement. And as I was reading Millard Erickson, he is right. Every doctrine of Scripture centers around the atonement. Christ died for our sins. Well, we have to understand the doctrine of Christ. Who is He? He is God. Jesus is infinitely, eternally God. And along with that, Jesus has been, as God, He's been the eternal Son of God. Now that doesn't make any sense, but doesn't have to. It's clearly taught in the Scriptures that Jesus is God. He's not God the Father, He's God the Son. So there's three gods? No, there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. There's only one God, but exists simultaneously at the same time as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scriptures teach. God's immeasurable love for you, He sent Jesus to save you. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. God the Son. And He came to earth as a baby and became man. So the doctrine of who Jesus is and the fact that He became the infinite God-man. He remained God and yet became man at the same time. Because God cannot die, but man can. He lived a sinless life here in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Who knew no sin. Jesus, He did not do any sin. We find in Hebrews He was tempted in many ways, even as we are. But He did not sin. He was tempted, but He did not sin. Being God, He could not sin. Being man, the temptation could be brought to Him. But He said, no way, I don't want any part of that. That's important because Jesus died an innocent death. Jesus did not die for His sins, He died for your sins. He could. Why? Because He's a sinless man and the infinite God who died on the cross for your sins. And 3 days later, as part of the gospel that Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 5, shares in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, part of that gospel is that 3 days later, that same Jesus, 3 days later, returned to life, was resurrected. Why? He did it for your sins. Why did Jesus come? Well, He tells us, for the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Let's look at the significance of Jesus. The significance of Jesus is He took the full punishment for your sins so you could have a personal and eternal relationship with God. Here we find that in the end of verse 20, that we are to be reconciled, made right before God. To restore a relation, to reconcile, is when He did something He shouldn't have done. It's their anniversary. Lee, don't forget the anniversary. You'll know this firsthand. Forgot the anniversary. And so you know where she's at in this whole thing. Not in the same room as he is. Because she is angry. There is a chasm between them that cannot be measured how deep and how wide. Because he was bad. So there he sits in his corner, profusely praying upon God's mercy and the mercy of his wife. And so she stands with her arms folded, not paying any attention to him. They need reconciliation. That's the best part about a fight in a marriage. You get a kiss and make up. She's angry at him. Things need to be restored. God is correct and right and just, and he stands there perfect and holy. And you are sinful, a broken relationship. The telephone, just as this poor man over here who cries out for mercy to his wife and falls on deaf ears till he brings like 8 dozen roses or something. Maybe that nice diamond ring she was looking for, right? With that nice big ring, about 24-carat ring, or whatever it would take to win her affection back over. She's not listening. And we cry out to God, "Oh God, you know, I got this issue or that issue. And I've been pretty good. I went to church. I got baptized once or twice or 3 times maybe. And I've gone to Bible studies, and I grew up in a Christian home. I've not killed anybody. So God, hear my prayer." And it falls on deaf ears because God cannot hear your voice. He can, but he does not listen to your voice. Why? Because there's a broken relationship that must be restored. Why did Jesus come? To restore that relationship. To be, here's the big theological word, the atonement for your sin. Now there's been some different ideas that have been made up about what the atonement is. I'm going to share those with you. But these ideas is like going to the grocery store. Your wife calls you up. I'm picking on you guys this morning, aren't I? You ladies will have your turn. Your wife calls you up. "Honey, on the way home, we need 2 gallons of milk." So you go to the store. Well, while you're at the store, the milk is where? In the back. And you have to go through the aisles to get to the back. And while you're there, you see that the candy is on sale, and so you pick up the candy. The Twinkies, which are supposed to be coming back on the shelves, I heard, are on sale. And then you said, "Oh, well, you know what? I know we need some chips. We can't do without chips." And then you keep going the aisle, and there it is, right there. That giant steak. So you pick up that steak. That would be wonderful. She would be so happy to surprise her and bring that home. And you could have a lovely steak for two. You'll share a little bit with her. You could even have a candlelight. So let's go get candles. and you look at what you've got and satisfied, you go to the register and check out and get home and find out you're in the doghouse again, you didn't buy the milk. That's what it is to define the atonement other than what it really is. Those have the idea, why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? These are actual, real, I didn't make these up, these are actual, real views of what the purpose of Jesus Christ came. To be a beautiful and perfect example of the type of dedication we should practice to God. That is not what the atonement is. To demonstrate the full extent of God's love so we don't have to fear Him or be ignorant of who He is. That's not why Jesus Christ came. To demonstrate God's right punishment for sin. This is what sin deserves. In order to keep us from doing sin. Is that why Jesus Christ came? And the fourth one, the final one here, to pay Satan for your soul. Satan is not owed anything. He doesn't own your soul, God does. Now, of these four things, there is some truth associated with the atonement. When we look at what Jesus Christ did, we can see it as an example. We can see it as a demonstration of God's love. We can see what God thinks of sin. We can see that. But that is not what it accomplished. That was not the purpose of it. That is the eggs that you got, the steak that you got, that is the chips that you got. It is not the milk of what He was sent for. The atonement, what it is a transaction. It is a transaction where Christ paid the full price of the suffering for your sin. So you can be made right with God and righteous from His perspective. Atonement is the transaction. God is owed. God sends God the Son to come to the cross and to pay. The word is ransom in the Scripture. I got something in here. It's not much, but I got something. There's a first for everything. He takes the money, it's not money, but with His own blood, paid the price to God the Father, who all of your things that you did, let's use all the things that you got here. You've got a tax-exempt form. You use that as a form of payment. You got an Office Max card. You use that as a form of payment. That's another tax-exempt card. You can use that for payment. Let's see what else we got. Oh, business card. You know who you are. Let's use that as a form of payment. You use all these good things that you do. Your baptism, your good works, your smiling face, you never murdered anyone. And God says, that's not payment, that can't make up for your sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ did God say, I accept that. It is through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, God the Son, innocent blood, the sacrifice that He paid for your sin, that is the only thing that will make you right before God. Jesus is your ransom, the full payment required to satisfy God's righteous requirements and wrath against your sin. Jesus is your substitute. Your substitute. Instead of you suffering for your sin, God the Son suffered for your sin. He suffered on your behalf. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, as though we were pleading, God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. When we see that Christ was made sin for us, for on behalf of us, a substitute for sin. He took the full punishment you deserve upon Himself. Finally, we see that Jesus reconciles your relationship to God. Jesus reconciles your relationship to God. How does He do that? Because the righteousness of Christ is placed upon you. He made Him, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on behalf of you, that we might be, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the righteousness of God by way of Him. When God looks upon you, He sees His own righteousness because the price has been paid. The price of Jesus Christ's blood. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never come to the point in your life where you admitted your guilt before Him and asked Him to save you, believing what Jesus did for you, you're in hot water and will literally be in hot water in the lake of fire forever and ever. You that are believers who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to consider what Christ has done for you. The fact that He paid the penalty so you could go to heaven. I want you to consider those unbelievers that you know who may have some idea what Jesus did, but they've been taught He's been a good example. And we should follow His example to be faithful to God. I could be faithful to God all I want. That won't get me to heaven. I'm still going to hell. I could have the biggest halo, other than the one already there. I could have the biggest halo that I have can ever get. And I could be better than you. But that won't get me to heaven. I can give all my money away to all the charities. I can live on the streets in a cardboard box wearing nothing but short shorts because I give it all away in order to show the love of Christ. And I'll still go to hell. Why? Because Christ did not come for me to be a good example. He didn't come for me to love God. He didn't come for me to be faithful to my church. He didn't come for me to understand and believe a certain set of beliefs. He came to save my soul by paying the penalty I could never pay. This is a message you must share with the lost. They are helpless and hopeless. And Jesus Christ, God Himself, is the only one who can make the difference. They need Jesus. I want to encourage you today as we close to recognize your place in this. You are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus Christ Himself, in His person and being, does not physically manifest Himself on this earth. He will come again. He does not manifest Himself on this earth and walk among us and say, "You need me, you need me." No, He gave that responsibility to you. Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. You are His ambassador. Be a good ambassador. Be one who is concerned to recognize the lost state of the unbeliever, praying for them, begging God to give you strength, boldness, and the right words to say, praying that they will have broken hearts before Him and accept Christ as their Savior.